It's really a privilege to share in any place, really, because it's the Word of God, you know. And so you almost have a fear in a sense that you don't want to get it wrong. But so whatever I say, please test it, because that's okay. And you can actually say, Clint, I don't agree with you. Anything I say, if all I want you to take away here is Scripture. Because you see, the Holy Spirit works on the Word of God, not on Clint's Word. And so that's why I want to encourage you, if you ever preach, please have one of these. Because the Holy Spirit acts on this, not so much our opinions. You know, and I've learned a hard lesson with that one. Because you get caught up in all these mind games, intellectualism, all this stuff. And then it's so far from the Scripture, because it's what I prefer rather than what the Word says. And then we're actually just leading people astray. And so it often comes to me how, like in the Old Testament, like the guys just pull out a scroll, read it, everybody weeps, repents, and they go home. Because there was like a value, you know, just a reverence for the Word of God. And so what we've come to do is we've had to come and translate this so that the ears can hear something they like, and then hopefully get to the Word and hopefully be transformed. So we're going to read some Scripture this morning, if you don't mind. And so last night, you know, I was asking Alistair, do you like prefer slides, or, you know, and the truth is I don't have any. So I hope you have a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, find somebody that does, huddle around that thing, and we're going to read the Word. Okay. This is awesome. This is the sword. This is what cuts, you know. This is the truth. And so if all you're going to hear from me this morning is Scripture, then that's great. Then I think a job well done, eh? Before I do that, I just want to say, like, we're family, Leanne, over here. Leanne was daring enough to move to Durban with me. We've been married for 10 years. We'll be 11 years on the 1st of May, May Day. We chose that deliberately. That's why you get a holiday every year. On your anniversary. And so we got two kids, Rachel and Joshua. Joshua, I believe, is going to take the baton from us and just go do crazy things. Rachel is going to preach the gospel. God showed me a vision of her on a massive stage, millions of people just preaching the gospel. I was just sitting in the corner and she was going for it. That was a vision. I don't know if you guys have that, but I had one of those and it's awesome. And so that excites me about the next generation, and that's what I want to speak about this morning. And you don't need biological kids to raise the next generation. And a lot of us are getting stuck there. Well, I don't have my own kids, so I'm not as effective as somebody that has kids. God delivered me of something in October last year called the orphan spirit. And it's a terrible place to be. Something, get caught up in that place where you have an orphan spirit. What that means is I've never come into sonship that the Bible speaks of. That says I can walk into my father's house, walk straight up to that throne and sit on his lap and say, hey, Dad, how are you? And so it's God the Father, not the Godfather. Massive difference. Okay. There is a massive difference between those two. And so I've been serving God, Pastor Clint and all this. I've been serving him with the view of him being the Godfather. Because I operated from an orphan spirit. I never became a son up until October last year. And it liberated me. And so I now don't have to... better not say that. Okay. So we're loving life. We love this awesome wife of mine. That God gave me a gift. A man who finds a wife finds a good... not a thing. Oh, come on. Anyway, you're something along that lines. It's biblical. You guys want things. You're beautiful. You're creation. You're God's. You're part of God's heart, and we just love you. You're awesome daughters. And so, we will do what we can as men to cover you, protect you, lead you, honor you, esteem you, encourage you, and just see you flourish. Okay. And so that really is the heart of man, because we're made in the image of God. Here's the problem. Some stuff happened and then we just got confused somewhere. And so we do some things that's not like a... And then so forgive us. And so in the same way, can the ladies, I just also esteem the men. There's nothing like a man that's esteemed, you know. And then it's just like, whoa, his chest swells. And it's just like, yo, bring it, bro, bring it. My wife, the woman that God has given me is with me. And so you guys play that role. You can make or break a man just by what you say. Or just the way you act towards him. So I want to ask, please bless us. We're just men, you know, needing your support. And it's awesome, man. Hey, Alistair, how long do I have you? Okay. I'll just tell you how this is going to end. Here's how this is going to end. Men are going to line up here, and then the ladies are going to stand behind them. And then you're going to put your hand on them, on their back. Now, it doesn't have to be your husband, boyfriend, thing on the side or whatever. No jokes. It's just a male, okay? So you have an important part to play, Eve, to lay your hand on him and come alongside him as a helper. Whether as a husband, as a boyfriend, as just a sister in the house. Because this is family. And so we need to hold each other close. You need to support. And then we're going to switch. And the men, you're going to put your hand on this lady and you're going to bless her. And that's what we're going to do. That's how this is going to end. Is that okay? Amen. Guys, are you with me or are you against me? Are you for me or against me? It's like, we play for the same team, eh? Promise you. But there's something called generations, and God has been speaking to me about it so much. And that's what Shofar really stands for. It's like to reach nations and generations. Now, that's not where this came from. God has opened our eyes in Durban to something called the curse of fatherlessness. Now, some of us has done Foundation 3. And we focus on that, like a large part of it focuses on that. We have come to see the destruction of this to the point where I started looking at my own life. And I'm sitting in Foundation 3 holding back the tears because I'm like, oh, shucks, I've got some stuff to deal with. And now you're facilitating this thing. Those are coming to you broken, swearing, yes, in church, because they're just so angry at the father that they were supposed to have that didn't show up. And so I've just come to realize the power of generations stepping into the next generation's life. And so a sad reality today, and I'm hearing it in a lot of churches, is how the younger generation is going, Chuck, you old generation, we don't need you. We've got this. The truth is we're ignorant because we don't. Because here's what's going to happen. We're going to redo everything the previous generation did. And that's not God's heart, man. Because the more I read this book, I see that the prophet stepped in, did something, handed over the baton. That guy ran with it, took it further, lifted the bar. The next generation came in, took it further, took it further, took it further. And if you've ever read Matthew chapter 1, it's just confusing. It's just boring. Until I caught this thing, the power of generations. Matthew chapter 1. Can we read it? It's quite awesome. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abram. Abram begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Aminadab. Aminadab begot Nashon, and Nashon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begot difficult name begot Abijah, and Abijah begot Asa. Asa begot, and it goes on and on and on. Okay, literally it goes on for 16 verses. Okay, please go and study that in your own time. There's one girl, she's actually been here, her name's Rebecca. She went to go study this. And she highlighted something to me. She said, just in this one paragraph, history is caught up. Because you see, that's what a generation to generation, it's not just so-and-so begot so-and-so, so-and-so. It is lives lived out over many years. And so when we look at it, what you're actually looking at is the whole of history. And so I want to ask this question. Who is your parents? Very much in the natural now. Who is your parents? Who are you? And who is coming after you? And who is coming after them? Because here's what's freaking me out totally. What am I doing right now that is drawing from the past, the strength? Okay? We're not going to focus on the negatives today. Because Our flesh wants to go there and say, I've been done in. Let's just cut that out. Let's focus on what did our parents actually do right. Grab that thing. Add it to what I believe I'm called to do. And then multiply it because of who's coming up after me. That, I believe, is what God is calling us to do at this time. Because you see, when He created Adam and Eve, He had us in mind. Hey, how long ago was that? How long ago was that? You see, our God is not short-sighted. So if He plants a church in Bloemfontein called Shofar, He's not just thinking about us. He's thinking 50 years down the line. He's thinking, where are you going from here? Because for many of us, this is a launching pad. And are we okay with that? Are we okay with the fact that God's probably going to come knock on your door and say, it's time to go? Either through a job or to go plant another church. Are we okay with that reality? Because that's not a dream. That's a reality. God doesn't call us just for ourselves. He calls us to affect a generation. And you see, like David stood up and he said, here I am. Here I am. Just David. Moses, try to get out of it. God says, no, you. And I believe this morning He's saying that for some of us. And I'm kind of moving off the point here. But I want to encourage you. Because for some of us, and I'm just going to get really personal this morning. For some of us like me, I was told in high school, you're never going to amount to anything. And this was by the guidance counselor. Somebody that's supposed to be edifying, equipping, saying you're going to make it. Flips it the other way. You're never going to amount to anything. I think you should just like kind of... I failed standard 6. But you know, that's when the schools, you know, the schools opened up. What was then called the Model C school. So years... I asked my mom, actually, it wasn't one of 20. It was one of 8 colored guys that walks into a school called Musenberg High. I'm just going to call a spade, bunch of white guys. Very cool. I love them. I ended up growing up in Fishhook. Tried surfing, the whole thing. I love rock music, so whatever. You know? So, I failed standard 6 because emotionally it was just too much to handle. And it completely distracted me from what the job as in the schoolwork. And I grew up in there, but and then that came. You're never going to amount to anything. And then a couple of other things happened through my life and stuff. And where God just said, okay, you need to make a decision. Do you believe I'm calling you? Just you. Do you believe that? Because you see, Smith Wigglesworth, and some of us know him. His catchphrase is, just believe or only believe or something like that. Just believe. It doesn't take skill. It takes belief. And so I've got to believe and you've got to believe that you are called out of the masses like Moses to go get a generation that's coming up after you and lead them into the glorious light. That will not happen if we think very little of ourselves. And I'm not talking about being conceited and arrogant and all of that. I'm talking about stepping into your identity as a son and daughter of the living God. That's what I'm talking about. And I'm talking about not being the doormat anymore and actually be the one that welcomes people into the kingdom. And there's certain things that you're going to have to shape in before you come into the kingdom, like a heart of repentance. And I'm talking straight, but anyway. Let's carry on. Example of generational responsibility is Joseph, Mary, and then came Jesus. Okay, I thought I'll find the simplest, most popular example that, so nobody can say, well, actually we have found some people haven't heard the gospel in a city like Durban. Unreal. And I'm just like blown away. Are you kidding me? Everybody knows. Not everybody. And that's why the job's not done. Okay, let's read from verse 17. Matthew chapter 1 verse 17. So all the generations of Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. Are you kidding me? It's like, how many times are you going to say that? You know? And then verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Right. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. I just want to speak to some married men here. Are you okay with that? Your wife comes to you. I'm pregnant of the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah, like something spiritually birthed inside of you, like you got a dream. No, like a child, a real one. This is our brother Joseph that has gone before us. He raised the bar high. Yes, that will challenge me. Okay. Yo. Verse 21. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Okay? So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. And I'm just going to keep reading because I'm just going to kind of hash it out after that. If we can jump to chapter 2, verse 13. Okay. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. How many of us have been given a young child? And I'm not talking about just in the natural now. Guys, I'm just kind of throwing this out there. How many of us have been given a young child, a dream, a vision, something birthed inside of you? You just can't let it go. And sometimes somebody will walk into your life at just a hint of what you're onto. Maybe you want to start a business. You don't have what it takes to start a business. That's a baby inside of you, conceived by the Holy Spirit. And then man comes along and says, you can't. And so they're trying to hunt down Jesus Christ. Because we need to kill this baby before it turns into something incredible. Because the promise is he's going to save the world. What is your baby? What is your baby? You got an incredible voice. You need to look after that. When you start singing, the presence of God comes into a room. Okay, what's your name? Yanni. Yanni, I'm just going to be bold here. You're going to record music, okay? Because you're not interested in music. You're interested in the Spirit of the Lord. Okay, and so like Kim Walker, that's the previous generation. You got to pick up the baton. Okay? Pick up the baton by doing what you do, but be intentional about it. Say, Jesus, I put my Isaac, my voice, on the altar. Do with it what you must, because I'm just here for you. And I believe he's going to take you and change the world with your voice. You don't have to do more than that. Just use your voice. Okay? Because that's what Moses had to do. He just had to go and speak. And we're sitting here today because of that. The Israelites was set free. Okay, bless you. Okay. So we go on, verse 14. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed from Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. And then it goes on. Verse 19. Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that, whatever that name is, was reigning over Judea, instead of his father Herod, He was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into a region of Galilee and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled again, that it might be fulfilled. So that means it was spoken of, which was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. There's prophetic detail involved here, guys. Okay? This is not by chance. Yes, I feel like I'm just falling over all over the show. Here's the thing. I'm just going to talk to the men first and then the ladies. Men, we have been called out by God Himself. Okay. So He said, I'm creating man in my, if you go to Genesis, image. What does that mean? Oh, is we walk around like we're inadequate or something. We walk around like we don't have what it takes. Okay. But the day, what's his name? Adam? He sinned. We fell. Okay. That's just how it is. We fell. Here's the thing though. Jesus Christ died and rose again. So with us accepting Him, we are put it back into that position of being made in God's image. Amen? You see, if you can't say amen to these things, then it means I'm still operating from a place of weakness rather than I know I'm seated with Jesus Christ at the throne in heavenly places. And what God has been talking to me about is us as men need to start leading. And then I've done that for a while. And then He spoke to me about there's enough leaders in the world. We need fathers. We need fathers. Boys, we need fathers. And I'm not talking about go have 30 babies of your own. I'm talking about in a church like this, there is so many young believers walking through the door. Some of us have been serving God for a year. Some have been serving God for 10 years, 20 years. That's awesome. Here's the question. What are we doing with it when the new believer walks through the door that just got saved? And we call it giving it a technical name and it's called discipleship. Meanwhile, it's actually just fathering. And so I've come to learn with our kids, you can preach all you want. Rachel Lee and Joshua is not necessarily going to do what I say. But the things I see them doing is what they've seen. And so here's the challenge, guys. What are we portraying through deed in everyday life? Am I a hard worker? Do I serve God? Do I bless those around me? Am I a blessing to the church? This church, the church globally. Am I a blessing to the world? Am I the light of the world? Because Jesus Christ lives inside of me. You see, guys, I'm at the place now where I'm done. I'm done with the system. Because the more I'm reading this book, the more it's telling me to break out of this strict box called the law. In a negative sense, law is good because Jesus didn't come to take it away. He said, I come to reinforce. He says, you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery. You don't have to do the act. Think it. It's done. Yes, that's higher grade. Okay? What I'm saying here is, when I walk, do I walk, as Francis Chan says, as Jesus Himself walked? Do I, as a man? Because you see, we got a bunch of young guys in Durban that has come to show me that those girls are actually, there's a desperation in their heart for a husband. But what has happened is, in terms of husband quality, the bar has been lowered and lowered and lowered and lowered. And you know what? If a guy asks me on a date or hints at marriage, I'm in. And so I stood up and said, no, you're not. Because we just need to work with the boys a little bit. And I said it, boys. They're so far from men, it's scary. So we're going to walk a road with them. And the boys were like, oh, pastor. I was like, yeah. What you want to do is journey with me. Then maybe you'll find a wife. Because it's very real. And I don't knock the boys. I don't knock them. All I see is that they weren't raised in a godly manner where, you know, when I walk up to the car with my girlfriend, I actually open the door for her. A simple thing. Is it the opening the door or is it something that's stemming from his heart? And so that's where I love tradition and religion. I do have a love for it to a degree. Because in the past, there was no chance a woman's going to open her own door. A man deka in her, Mark. You understand? Men had that thing where I'm in there, but no, let me. And now we have one guy in particular, he was raised this way. He stands out like a sore thumb. Because there's no chance a lady's opening her own door. And I'm using this as an example. It's way more weighty than this. But just a simple example. And so what happens is, he's just being himself. Just to show you how far this bar has dropped. And so the minute he walks to the door and he opens the door for the girl, see you next time, she thinks he's in love with her and she's in. Just because he opened the door. Because that's unheard of. Then we have the situation where guys are asking girls on a coffee date, which happened the other day. Just a new guy in the church. He just wanted to get to know the girl. No romantic business. Just like, I just want to get to know you. Who are you? You're like a cool girl. I just want to get to know you. She was like, nah, no dating for a year. He was like, what just happened there, bro? Guys, it's where we are at. And please see this in the light of generations. Can we raise that bar again? Can we raise the bar again? Where the simple things, just being the light, just being polite to someone. You know, when somebody walks in, and what was so awesome here this morning, you guys were like, I don't know who was at the door, but you guys like smiled. That was amazing. Just a smile. And we say that I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the kingdom of heaven one day, that because that'll just be amazing. It's happening right now. Is this not the kingdom of God? Because he said the kingdom of God is basically on its way and it's already come. Is it not here already because you're here? Because the kingdom lives inside of you. And that's so awesome, Alistair, about the river. There's revival happening in your own heart. In our own hearts. We're looking for it out there. And my question is, where's out there? Out there is in other people's hearts. What makes them different to me and you? And I want to ask you to buy a CD. It's going to break your head. The type of music. A guy called Jake Hamilton. And he's also affiliated to Jesus Culture and all these others. And he says it to my man. We don't need another Chris Tomlin. He's a muser. We don't need another Jesus Culture. We don't need another Hillsong. They're pretty good at what they do. What the world needs is for us as musicians and worshippers to take our lives and translate it into something new. A new song that the world needs. A new song. Here's why we don't do it. Because we don't believe what we have to give is either at the same level or better. Because you see, Kim Walker, Jesus Culture, Chris Akwala, la la la, that guy. Yeah, all of these people, they had to step out. And the fear was very real that what if this gets rejected by the Christian church today? Is it for them or is it for Jesus? See, the perspective has to change. They stepped into that identity and said, I got something and it's a voice. And it sounds pretty good, I think. Let's chuck some instruments in here. And let's see what we come up with those and put it out there, and then the world's going to tell us if I suck or not. And that's still not a determining factor whether or not we're going to carry on with this. Because we believe we're called to do this. And so I've been watching X Factor on YouTube because I just love it. Talent for me is like next level. And so, you know, these people always choose like a Whitney Houston song. I mean, who does that, bro? That's like, why do you want to do that to yourself, you know? If you're not Whitney Houston, you're going to miss it. You know, and then 2 of 10 girls stands up and they sing 2 different songs and they hit it through hundreds. I was like, are you kidding me? What if you actually wrote your own songs? Because right now you're just repeating a generation. What if you took that baton and carried on? What if? Ha, that gets me going, man. That gets me so excited. So Shofar Durban, in a sense, is the next generation church, I believe. And we're taking heat for it, but that's okay. You know? Like the announcements is kind of on the fly, and worship's an hour. The word ends up being 10 minutes, and then we just pray for people for another hour. So it's just like, it's like so different. And I'm like, ah, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Because, you know, we've got rules. We are shofar. There's a DNA and all of this. And so I'm like, we implement it. And then the O's go, Jackie, I'm not coming to church. I don't like this church. And we say, bring cushions. And then everybody's back in the building. I'm like, what? What? Are you kidding me? And God's going, what is the next generation screaming out for? And I'm sitting with a challenge right now. It's like, am I throwing the system and templates at people? Or am I bringing Jesus? And when I bring Jesus, how we get to Jesus starts fading away in terms of whether we have rows or no chairs at all. That becomes irrelevant. Because the heart's connecting with Jesus. And so it's so awesome for me to see how every city has sort of its own flavor. And that's what God's using to reach the city. And the city not being a place, the city being people. The next generation. Generations, we sometimes lock down to age. I'm not talking about age. I'm talking about where we used to walk traditionally in our ways. And God's saying, in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit. I'm going to raise up a new generation. That generation being people that's willing to jump into the river and swim. You can be 90. And you fall into the category of the next generation. It's so beautiful for me. It's so beautiful for me. It's got nothing to do with age. And we were in Cape Town not too long ago, and I was speaking to a lady, and she just came up to me afterwards and she said, yeah, can you pray for me? Church we went to there. She said, I just love the joy. I just love the joy. Because she comes out of a life of serving kind of like under the hammer, you know? Under the hammer. The heavy Godfather. And I was like, with pleasure. And she says, I want what you got. And then we just prayed together. And we just went to Jesus together. I was not better. We went to Jesus. And I saw this woman come alive. And her arms are up. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Doing the shakes and everything. I was just like, it's beautiful, man. There was born the next generation. That's what I'm into, guys. What we, most of us here, almost all of us have here, in our favor is age as well. What are we doing with it? That's the question. What are we doing with it? And so, if I can quickly check my notes that I did make. Okay. At the end of the day, my note says there, we need to engage with the next generation. We cannot dismiss it. We cannot live our lives right now as if this is where it's going to end. It can. And often we hear this saying, the greatest sadness of a graveyard is to see all the talent in the ground that wasn't tapped. That's the greatest sadness. Kentucky Fried Chicken. I heard a sermon the other day. What's his name? Colonel, whatever. I don't know. The Colonel. Whatever. That was born at a very late age, if I got it correct. And now generations later, people are loving it. KFC, huh? It's like a... I had another sermon the other day where this guy said, man, we were so poor growing up, we went to KFC to lick other people's fingers. Yes, bro. I was like, yo, bring it. That's poor, bro. I think we're doing all right. Yes. But it developed the man. There's a character inside of him that no one's going to take away. God was faithful. And so now their ministry is called to give people not just jobs, but to train them up very much in the secular, send them out into the corporate world. Because he's tasted poverty. It's not of God. It's not of God. We don't have to walk in poverty. I just want to say that to you today. Even the church circles have come to say, your ministry, you will be poor. It's a lie.
we serve a living, wealthy God. We don't have to have everything in our hand, but when I need it, I'm going to have it. Because He provides. He provides for the job. That is a reality if I am kingdom focused. So I have to line myself up with His will, not my own. So it's a bit of a curveball, but that's okay. Why do some ministries absolutely flourish? If you go see behind the scenes, the heart of the leaders is to see the kingdom come. And God just pours it out. Take the world. And so I'm all over the show. I think that's it. Yes, that was weird. But next generation, if you walk from here to the car, like Andy Stanley says, what is it that people's going to remember from the door to when they open their car door? I am here to raise up a generation. I have what it takes simply because I have Jesus. Not skills. I've got Jesus. And that's all I need. That's all I need. And so, let's get really weird. Guys, can I ask you to come line up here? How's that, eh? So everybody's going to get prayed for. How cool is that? Because I almost want us to draw a line in the spirit today. Guys, by me saying I'm in is, okay, I just have to tell you the truth. Okay, boys, you are now saying I am no longer interested in my own agenda as much as I am interested in raising up a generation that's looking at me going, what is he doing? What is he doing? Because I want to be like that. And when somebody says, I want to be like that, our responsibility is that we are imitating Jesus. Because if we're not imitating Jesus, then we're making mini-me's. That's not okay. Then we're leading people away from the cross and not to the cross. Now, it seems like a big, heavy responsibility. But this is all it comes down to, guys. It is not just daily, but all day. I'm speaking to Dad. I'm speaking to the Father. Not religiously. I'm in love with Him. So there's a response. And I think the challenge for some of us as men may be that we don't like this fuzzy business. We don't like it, eh? It's like a man must be. I was raised, listen here, you put in. You put in, bro. You don't come here with a, yo, can I talk about your feelings? You get like, bah. That's for girls. And I'm not knocking that generation either. I'm not knocking my dad. My dad and I today are actually talking about our feelings, which is incredible. It's like rocking my world. It's beautiful for me to see how that transformation's happening. But guys, if we've grown up like that, can we just stop it now in our own hearts? Because there's kids coming up after us. Them. And they're seeing what we do. And they're following in our footsteps. Okay? So ladies, can we be bold enough to please come and just stand behind this men? Quickly, we're just going to pray for them. We're not going to pray for them one at a time, but we're going to do just like a corporate prayer. And then we're just going to switch. So I don't want to drag it out too long. But men, there's ladies behind you now. And guess what they're doing? They're looking at the men in the church and saying, how are they different from the men in the world? How are we, boys? How are we, as Jesus-loving men, different from those on the street right now? And I'm not talking about opening car doors and stuff now. I'm not talking about stuff like that. I'm talking about, firstly, how I respond to my Creator. How I respond to the other men in the church of covering brotherhood, shoulder to shoulder. And then how do I respond to the blessings of women that's been placed in our midst? Because you see, the more I'm reading Acts, and specifically Acts chapter 2, it says it was by the fellowship of the believers. They came together in one accord, the unity, they broke bread. They ate with gladness in heart. And by this, Jesus added to the church daily, because there was something alive in the midst of the believers. Something called relationship. And so we live these isolated lives because that's how the Western world works. And then we look at the East and the church and it's, wow, it's happening. Those people are so dependent on community. There's no reason why we can't have it. We've just been raised a certain way. Me, myself and I. No more. But it's going to take the men to change that. Because the women are the helpers. They're going to help us do that. But we must stand, boys. By the power of the Holy Spirit, not our own strength. So let's just pray. Ladies, if you can put your hand on their shoulders, on their back. And Father, I thank you that you are our Father who art in heaven. Lord, that there is nothing that can change that. Your word says, Lord, that nothing, no created thing can pull us from your love. No created thing can separate us from the love of God. Because that's what a father feels towards us. And as men, I just thank you, Lord, that we can stand once again and say this morning, we draw a line in the spirit and we say, here we are. Sons in the house. Sons in this local family. That you have called us to transform Bloemfontein and to go from here and transform the nation and to go from the nation and transform the world. I thank you, Lord, that you're not small-minded. You didn't call any of us here to just be about ourselves. And Father, I thank you for the grace that you've given us as the men, as the Adams. Lord, to come and redo what was broken. Thank you that you're raising up a generation right now, a generation in our own hearts, Lord. Us as the generation to transform what is already in our hand, to steward, to administer. Even if it's our own households right now. And I want to encourage you, if you've got kids, I want you to really take today, go home, and bless your family. You have the authority. The mandate's been given to you. No one else. To you. Tell your wife how much you love her. Tell your kids how much you love them. Look them in the eye. No distractions. Look them in the eye and say, I love you. My Father, I thank you that your heart, Holy Spirit, that you'll come and just impart the heart of the Father right now. To each of us. To each of us. And for those of us who are single, we're not married, we don't have girlfriends, there's a generation in this church that's still coming into this church. Start praying for them. Start praying for them. Because there's a world out there, an orphanage master called the enemy, that is abusing them. And Jesus is going to go and adopt them by Spirit, like He did with us. And He's going to bring them here. And then He's going to tell us to look after them. To show them the ropes. Show them how the household works. Show them the Father's heart, because we've received it first, freely. And I thank you, Lord, that the older men in this house will start looking after the younger men. And the younger men will start looking outward at the men that's still coming in. And so, Lord, I thank you for this generational impact, the ripple effect. Holy Spirit, flow. Let it not become a strenuous thing, but let it become a flow. Just impartation, Lord. Impartation from your heart, from your throne. Truly like the river flows. River flow, river flow, river flow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for these little ones in our midst. Thank you, Lord, that you are going to do a mighty work through them. Like Joseph and Mary, they had to go through so much to raise up Jesus. And so, Lord, give us that kind of heart, Lord, where we will flee if we have to for the protection of the child. Whether spiritually or physically. But Father, I thank you that there are fathers in this house. And if you're feeling inadequate, if you don't feel like you cut it, I just want you to make a decision in your own heart right now that I am everything, absolutely everything. I need to be for the job at hand. And firstly, the job is to be a son, myself. To come into that sonship, myself first. Because if we don't know how to be sons, we'll never be fathers. We must know what it's like to feel like a son. So Father, I thank you just for absolute release this morning. That not just Shofar Bloemfontein, but Bloemfontein will be transformed as we as men go out into the workplace, into friendship circles, briars, malls, movies. Wherever we go, may your heart be transferred, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for absolute release of your heart. Father, I just pray against false identity. And I say that when people walk through these doors, by the example of these men, Lord, that they'll not fall into false identity. I thank you that these men know who they are in you. I thank you that they will no longer falter at playing into the enemy's hands and trying to raise corporate companies because that's my image. Trying to raise up families even as my image. No longer. I am who I am because of Jesus Christ. That's it. Not because of what I can do, but because of what He's done. He said it's finished. You don't have to prove yourself anymore. And I really believe this is for a few of us here. Stop proving yourself. Be you. And you will see how you flourish. Because God is into His creation. God is wanting to take His creation, His concept, His design, His idea, and show the world how magnificent He is. And what we've done is we've hijacked that and tried to build our own empires. And so God is saying, no more. I love you too much to let you go. I love you too much to let you go. And so He's going to bring you back to your fullness. And it's going to start at that place of identity. Where your car doesn't matter. How beautiful your wife is doesn't matter. How big your house is doesn't matter. How big your paycheck is doesn't matter. He loves you just as you are. No more performance, boys. No more performance. Just be you, man. This world needs you. The real you. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Great. Okay, can we just switch quickly, ladies? And so, men, I just want to say that what we're about to do here is cover these ladies. Okay, we're about to cover them. They are the gift that God has given to us. Absolute gifts. And I'm realizing more and more with the gift, Leanne, that God has given me. Just what I used to treat her like was we could probably classify it as abusive. Because of the emotional strain that I put on her. Very little love. Just do, do, do. But that came from a place of insecurity inside of me. And so if you're a wife and you're feeling like that, you're not feeling loved, you're not feeling protected, you're not feeling led, you're not feeling covered. I want to ask you just in your heart to forgive, please. Because it's probably because hubby still needs to get into the place of healing and wholeness himself. And he's just acting out of a place that he knows. But God is for him, not against him. And I believe this morning, it'll change. And habits form over a long time, and God can deliver us immediately. But sometimes it's going to take a walking out. A journey of change. And so I just want to repent on behalf of the men that has hurt the woman. Whether emotionally, even physically. Verbally. And Father, I repent now, Lord. where we as men have come to hurt these precious gifts. We love you, Jesus, and ask that you help us. Help us to love like you love. Help us to love our brides, our sisters in this family, like you love us as men, unconditionally. And ladies, I just want to say to you that you are absolutely gifted. You are beautiful. Some of you feel like you're ugly. You are beautiful because you are created in the image of Christ. You are beautiful. Don't let the world tell you what beauty is. You are beautiful. You shine like the noonday sun. You shine. You have been liberated by the blood of Christ. We as men need you. We need you. God would not have created you if we didn't need you. He said, I'll give you a helper. And he's put something inside of you as woman that is just endless. I've seen with my own wife, with Leanne, there's just a massive wealth of resources in any given situation. And you may think like you're not needed. And I feel almost like this is for somebody. You may feel like you're not needed. You have something that the world is desperate for. And if you don't bring it, the world misses out. And it's going to start in the home. I love you, Jesus. I love you. Thank you, Lord, for this woman here this morning that really just illustrates your beauty, Lord. That illustrates a sensitivity and a side to you that we as men really struggle to get to because of our own insecurities. And so thank you that this morning liberation comes, Lord. Liberation comes. I feel like the world's saying, woman, shine, for the light has come. Your light has come, shine. Your shine does not depend on the man. Shine. You are creation. You are creation. Shine. And I feel almost like for some of us ladies here, the Lord is saying, your fighting spirit, in a negative sense, is taking away your shine. Step into that place of just freedom, humility, beauty, softness. Because that is the most attractive thing for a man. Where he sees a woman just secure in herself, knowing who her Lord is, knowing who her Savior is. There's a dance that I'm feeling will spring up in some of you. There's a freedom to dance that will spring up inside of you over the next while. You're going to dance because you've come out of a jail cell. And I feel almost like with the disciples in the prison where the angel walked in, and for some of you, you're feeling like that right now. The angel's at the gate. And he's saying, wake up. The shackles are off. The doors open. Walk out of here. You're free. You're free. We love you, Lord. Vindication. The Lord saying, he's your vindicator. Please don't try and prove yourself. Surrender in private, in secret to him, and he's gonna come and fight for you. And that way, the job's done. And Father, I thank you for these beautiful, beautiful gifts. Thank you for marriages that truly illustrates your kingdom. You and your bride, the church. Thank you, Lord, just for a freedom that's going to come from today. Thank you for a liberty in marriages. Thank you for a liberty in dating circles. Thank you for a purity in dating circles, Lord. And thank you that dating couples in this church will show the world out there what it is to serve God while dating. And thank you for the single guys and girls just to come into a place of absolute security and not needing somebody to fulfill who I am. But just to passionately chase after your heart, Jesus. And may your beauty shine forth, Lord, because of that. We glorify you and you alone. May your kingdom come in our hearts and then flow from there, Lord. Thank you, Father, for Hester and Alistair in this house. Thank you for their incredible relationship. And Father, what you teach them, may it flow into the body. Thank you that you've raised up a mom and a dad for this family. And that it's going to flow. It's not going to be striving. It's just going to flow. As we live our lives in private, may it flow out into the public arena. In your name, Jesus. Amen.